Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I like finding true stories in which a seemingly random event that occurred decades in the past propels a person toward a very important destination at some point in the future. It feels like fate. For instance, I submit that the downfall of notorious mob boss Whitey Bulger really began in 1974, when a 20-year-old named Anna Bjørndóttir was chosen to represent Iceland in the Miss Universe competition. Anna was a stunning blonde with bobbed hair, and she took home the Miss Congeniality Prize that year. The exposure opened many doors for Anna. It got her acting roles. She was cast in the sequel to American Graffiti in 1979. And if you're my age, you might remember her from roles on Different Strokes and Remington Steele. Eventually, Anna got into directing documentaries, and then in 1994, she opened a yoga studio in Reykjavik. She split her time between Iceland and Hollywood, kept a place in Santa Monica where she befriended an older couple who lived nearby, Charles and Carol Gasco. Anna and Carol looked after a stray cat that wandered the suburban streets. In 2011, Anna was back in Iceland and watching television when photographs of that older couple from Santa Monica suddenly appeared on screen. Except, their names were not Charles and Carol Gasco, according to the FBI. Their real names were Whitey Bulger and Catherine Grieg, his mall. By then, Bulger had been on the run for 16 years, wanted for his role in 19 murders as the leader of the Winter Hill Gang in Boston. The guy Jack Nicholson played in The Departed was based off Bulger. Suffice to say, he was a very dangerous man. The FBI was offering $2 million for information leading to the apprehension and arrest of Whitey Bulger. Anna picked up the phone. A few days later, Bulger and Grieg were arrested in Santa Monica. When the feds searched their home, they found 30 guns and $822,000 in cash hidden in the walls. Apparently, Bulger had assumed the identity of a man he'd found living on the streets in order to pass undetected in California. In 2013, Bulger was convicted and sentenced to 2 life terms plus 5 years. It was probably those additional 5 years that really pissed him off. That and realizing it was a chance encounter with a model from Iceland that did him in. Life's funny that way. Bulger didn't last long in prison, by the way. He was beaten to death by inmates using a sock-wrapped padlock. His eyes were gouged out with a shiv. These violent delights, right? $2 million buys a lot of gravlocks, man, and that's not even the most money that's ever been claimed for a crime tip. We gave $30 million to an Iraqi citizen who told us where Saddam Hussein's sons were hiding. But I wonder how much that $2 million reward actually helped in the end, or if it helped at all. It's a lot of money, sure, but I imagine Anna would have made that call regardless. I think just about anybody would, actually. So what's the point of reward money? Does it really help solve cold cases? Why would money motivate us to help others? And is there perhaps something better we could do to get information from the public? This is The Philosophy of Crime, and I'm your host, James Renner.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Using money as an incentive to get information on criminal cases is probably as old as the concept of money itself. Before the Roman city of Pompeii was destroyed in a volcanic eruption in 79 AD, the following message was written on a wall there. A copper pot went missing from my shop. Anyone who returns it to me will be given 65 bronze coins. 20 more will be given for information leading to the capture of the thief. I like to think the copper pot was returned to its owner just a moment before Mount Vesuvius erupted. So shines a good deed in a weary world. Of course, we often associate the idea of reward money with the American Old West, where wanted posters became archetypes of their time. Billy the Kid, wanted dead or alive, $100. The newly formed United States government paid reward money for the scalps of Native Americans. Case in point, I bring you the tale of Little Crow. Little Crow was a Mittewakanton, Dakota chief in the 1800s, when you really, really didn't want to be a Native American chief. White settlers were pushing west, taking land that had remained unsoiled since the beginning of time. Little Crow led the Dakotas in a 5-week war against the United States in 1862. And the fact that we're speaking English and not Dakota kind of tells you how that went. After the battle, Little Crow became the most wanted man in America. The United States government put up a bounty on his head, $500, which back then was a shitload of money. On July 3rd, 1863, Little Crow was picking raspberries with his son when they were spotted by a man named Nathan Lamson and his son Chauncey. They shot and killed Little Crow where he stood. They reported the death, and a search party returned the next day to gather Little Crow's body. They scalped him and brought his body into town. To celebrate, they put firecrackers in his ears and nose, and then lit them. Then they decapitated him. Nathan Lamson got his $500, and his son got $75 more. And so it goes. Probably the most famous reward offering is the FBI's 10 Most Wanted list. The idea was simply a marketing gimmick at first. In 1949, the notorious FBI director J. Edgar Hoover met with the editor of a newspaper service to discuss ways to prompt information about the most dangerous wanted criminals in America. The newspaper man understood that readers loved a good list and punchy, short descriptions of crimes. And if they offered a reward, every subscriber could pretend to be a bounty hunter. The first fugitive added to the FBI's most wanted list at its inception in 1950 was a man named Thomas Holden, a career dirtbag if ever there was one. Holden was part of an old-time gang that robbed banks and trains in the 1920s. He was arrested in 1928 and sent to Leavenworth Federal Penitentiary, arguably the world's worst prison. And then Holden escaped with the help of Machine Gun Kelly, a famous gangster from Memphis who Google tells me is currently dating Megan Fox. Anyway, Holden gets out and immediately goes back to robbing banks. He was caught again and sent back to Leavenworth, but that's not all. He was paroled in 1947, went home, tried to lead a somewhat normal life, and then, in 1949, he murdered his wife and her two brothers and ran away. He was one bad dude. On June 20, 1951, the Oregonian newspaper ran a story on the FBI's most wanted list along with Holden's photograph. A local reader recognized him as a neighbor named John McCullough. The tip was called in, Holden was promptly arrested, and the list continued. As of the beginning of 2022, 526 fugitives have been placed on the FBI's 10 Most Wanted list. Of those, 491 were apprehended, but only 162 were caught due to public tips. If you've made it on the list, the minimum amount offered for your arrest is $100,000. The highest bounty currently is $20 million, offered for information leading to the arrest of Rafael Caro Quintero, a Mexican cartel leader who kidnapped and murdered a DEA agent in 1985. So if you're sitting at home thinking about how you're going to pay the bills, maybe take a close look at your neighbor. Does that old man next door look a little like Rafael Quintero? This practice of offering reward money for information suggests that at least some of us, maybe most of us, value money more than justice. Otherwise, there'd be no need for such large sums to bring down dangerous men. Anyone with information about the criminal would have given the tip to police already, right? It suggests that some of us would look the other way until there's something in it for us. That doesn't feel good, does it? And this got me wondering, why? Why do some people need money to do the right thing? And that led me to a philosophical concept called action theory, and a guy named Donald Davidson. Donald Davidson is a relatively recent philosopher. In fact, some smart people consider him to be one of the most influential philosophers of the 20th century. Born in 1917 in Springfield, Massachusetts, Davidson did his undergrad in literature at Harvard and graduated in 1939, just in time to get pulled into World War II, like many of the most influential thinkers of the 20th century. Nothing like the horrors of war to get you thinking about the bigger picture. When he returned, he studied classical philosophy at Harvard and wrote his dissertation on Plato's Philebus, a famous dialogue in which Socrates argues for moderation with a man who prefers hedonism. The dialogue was about the idea that there are lower and higher forms of pleasures, and a wise man would be smart not to let pleasure be his only motivating force. Even then, Davidson was interested in that spark that creates action in men. Soon into his teaching career, Davidson focused his work on action theory, the study of the processes that lead to willful human movement. when we flip a burger on the frying pan or when we reach out and pet a cat, what causes that movement? Is it the interaction of complex chemical feedback loops in our brains, instructing our bodies to move in order to get what we want? Or do we really have some determination over our movement, some free will? All philosophy, at its core, eventually gets around to that tricky debate over free will versus determinism, doesn't it? In an essay published in 1980, Davidson asserts that an action should be defined as something that is done by an agent with intention. I cooked the burger because I was hungry, and it was my intention to fix that by eating and feeling full again. On the surface, this is a common sense description of a very basic process, right? But its implications are far-reaching and potentially problematic. If intention is needed for an agent to willingly act, then a great many criminals should be deemed innocent, their actions blameless because they had no real control over them. Like the guy who falls asleep while driving a bus full of college athletes and crashes into a riverbank, killing a dozen kids. He had no intention to kill anybody. And since he had no intention of falling asleep, and only did so because his body was physically exhausted, he had no agency in the crime. How is he guilty of anything? Well, what about Officer Derek Chauvin? We can all agree he did the wrong thing, but what action did he take to intentionally kill George Floyd? Do you really think he intended to kill that man in front of so many witnesses? I'm not defending what he did, far from it, but it's something to consider when thinking about intention and action and culpability. Davidson believed that desire and belief were the cause of any action. Desire to not be hungry, belief that Big Mac is going to fill me up. And there goes my hand getting the skillet out of the drawer. Desire, belief, action. And somewhere along the line, the FBI discovered that the desire to do right was sometimes not enough of an incentive to get information about criminals. And it being America, J. Edgar Hoover decided to privatize incentive, to monetize it. And it worked, but only for about 32% of those who had that information. The remaining 68% stayed mum. Stitches get stitches, after all. Or maybe, as Dominic Toretto says every 5 minutes, maybe family is more important than any amount of money. One thing is clear. As United States citizens, the FBI's most wanted list shows us that some of us desire wealth more than justice. Besides, the reward system doesn't really work anyway. One problem, critics say, is an overload of worthless information that a police department must sift through when offering a large reward. Everyone with a theory about their creepy neighbor could step forward, gambling on the chance that detectives will look into him and it'll actually turn out to be the bad guy they're looking for. Case in point, the mysterious Moira Murray disappearance. After a reward was offered for information leading to Moira's whereabouts, one down-on-his-luck guy came forward saying his brother kidnapped and killed the woman. He even turned over a bloody knife he claimed was the murder weapon. Turned out it had nothing to do with anything, and those who know the man say he's had a falling out with his brother and was just hoping to make some cash. To those of questionable moral character, a cash reward provides incentive to lie. Crime Stoppers is the leading nonprofit for award money for tips in criminal cases. But the BBC reports that fewer than 2% of people who are eligible to claim a reward actually do. In summary, the vast majority of rewards are never paid out because the police get to them on their own before we do. And even when a citizen's tip does lead to an arrest, they hardly ever collect the prize. So why do we continue to use a system that doesn't work as intended? Because giving the reward to the tipster is not the reason the list was created. J. Edgar Hoover understood this. The goal is to give the media a reason to write about the case, to get those specific crimes in the papers. Crimes happen every day, and a reporter can only cover so many. What makes one case more worthy of a story than another? How about a large sum of money and the suggestion that any one of us could have the $1 million piece of the puzzle? Now that I've bummed you out, I do have an idea for a more productive system. If we want to revise the reward system for criminal apprehension to motivate the action of another individual, we should remember what Donald Davidson taught us. Action begins with desire. And there is one thing that Americans desire more than money. Do you know what it is? It's affirmation. The one thing every human has in common, the desire to be recognized and understood. Let's take away the money. Instead, if someone calls in a tip that leads to an arrest, that person gets their name and picture on the FBI's most helpful page, an interview tour on Good Morning America, and a walk-on role in the next Marvel movie. We'll call them superheroes. I'm not joking. It's crass. It's irreverent. But I bet it would work better than the system we have right now. On that note, I've been keeping a close eye on Old Man Peabody next door. Maybe I'm imagining things, but he bears a strong resemblance to D.B. Cooper. I'm sure I have the FBI's number around here somewhere. The Philosophy of Crime is a Fearful Symmetry production. This episode was recorded by Jeff Koval at the Stay Level Recording Studio in Fairlawn, Ohio. It was produced and edited by William Mankey. I'm James Renner. If you enjoyed this episode, please check out my new weekly podcast, True Crime This Week. William Mankey also writes the music for this podcast. Look for his other creations, including Genius Dice, wooden dice that will give an artful twist to your gaming night, and his new Dueling Pints drinking game. It's rock, paper, scissors on a pint glass. Both are available on Amazon. Until next time, remember, there's a simple but challenging solution to the epidemic of crime. If everybody took the time to make good friends with their neighbors, we would know when someone needs our help before they become a statistic. Don't be fearful of the world. Make friends and make it better.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.